Welcome to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we are here to encourage you on this Tuesday. Joining me to encourage you today, where we're keeping the conversation light, and that's L-I-G-H-T, is the producer of VFN Radio program, amazingly, all the way from Second Street. Yes, Pat Hamilton.
Hi there.
And John Ramos. We're going to be talking today about so many different things. Mexico is asking the U.S. Senate to have all of our guns registered. Yo no hablo español.
Oh, my God.
We're going to talk about also how we as sheep tend to wander sometimes, wander and wonder, and how God leads us back to himself. We're going to be talking about understanding against all hope, in hope we still can believe, even though in our natural situation things don't seem to be connecting. Understand if God says it, believe it, and you'll see it come to pass in your life. Also about community organizing. Our president talks about his history as a community organizer. Guess what? Your host was a community organizer. I'm going to share about my experiences and what I saw happening with the church. The church being community organized. If we get a chance today, we're going to be talking also from the Wisdom Moment, and we want to revisit something very important about, you know, being a hearer, a doer, our giftings, or actually a doer of what God says. So important, because there's nothing more frustrating for a hearer and a doer to be around a hearer and a hearer, a who-doer and a do-doer. And about frustration, you might not be experiencing this, but I want to encourage you for a future note, how to deal with frustration. There's nothing more frustrating than to not have your mind and your heart in agreement with what God is telling you to do and a time of rest. Yes, you're listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Joining me is Pat Hamilton.
Hi there.
And John Ramos. It is Tuesday. That's difficult to say because you always want to say something after, you know. Good evening, good morning, good afternoon, you know, whatever time zone. I don't know who that is. It's like
wrong number.
No doubt. So here we are, man. It is amazingly Tuesday. You know, it is amazing. Every single time you ever had a Monday. Yeah, I guess you had a Monday before. But yeah. You know, one of those Mondays, you're thinking, my goodness. And you're just thinking like, you know, oh my goodness, Tuesday's going to come. And you kind of stretch it out. You do everything you can to kind of beat it, roll it. Do everything you can to kind of stretch that Monday out. And no matter what, man, no matter what. Or even stay awake. So you stay awake. If I stay awake, maybe tomorrow won't come.
Never come.
And then find out not only does it come, but now you're sleepy, irritable. It's here. I mean, it's amazing.
And the next day.
Tuesday just shows up. It just shows up. And then you're thinking, man, I was worried about Tuesday, but guess what? Before I had a chance to even think about Tuesday, Wednesday happened. And next thing you know, the judgment seat of Christ. Time flies by.
Yeah, it does.
It is amazing. And you know, I want to encourage you today to really think about it, because one of your greatest adversaries is your own perception of time. God has given you a measure of it. He's giving you a measure, a moment, and nobody knows, you know, your days are numbered and God knows those numbers. But understand this, that is your stage, that is your part to play in this awesome drama that God has laid out since the beginning of time. All of heaven is looking down upon you. God is expecting great things from you to do, invest everything that he's given you for his glory. So when he returns, you'll see that you've gained an interest, and you can't. You have to understand and get the right perception of time, because time will just it is a procrastinator's best friend, because it just clicks away, and inside they go, well, that's so great, you know, I would have done it, but I would have had time. I didn't have time. But you know, God knows the motives of that person's heart. But understanding this, that you have to take time and force it to be in compliance with your destiny, and it just seems harder than ever before. There's so much information, so much data, so many things happening in a day. I mean, you know, do we really need to know about all that? You know, and they're just downloading just tons. That's why we really try to separate what's important, what's not important, and sharing with you God's news behind the news, because, you know, how much do you need to know? If Israel's surrounded like a trembling cup, pray for them, you know, in regards to that. But, you know, every single day, they move 2 inches closer. They, you know, it's like creating this whole anxiety inside of you. But also that listen, it's not just everybody else's time or somebody's time that you're focused on. It's your time. Do something with the time that God's given you. Force it to be in compliance with what God has called you to do. Just step out in bold faith, like John G. Lake says, and God will meet you there. He'll step over 1 million people to find someone who will believe him. Look, he searched over the entire earth, and he found David in the wilderness tending sheep because he knew that his heart was right. You know, everything wasn't prepared yet, but his heart was right. He stepped over Saul and all these ones who were hiding behind rocks, and everybody, including the religious folk, and stepped over all of those to go find a shepherd out there who had a heart that was after him. And God began to prepare him. And David stepped out. When God said, go back to the mundane things, he did it with great vibrance. But also when he stepped out, and the moment called him, he just stepped out and he did what was required. We're in a day and a time where time is ticking off rapidly. And we have so many people that are not hiding behind rocks, but they're sleeping behind rocks only because the rock has cable. I mean, you know what I'm saying? If you turn it off, you might find out, my goodness, I have a lot of time on my hand. Mm-hmm. A lot of time. And some people say, well, that's the reason why I watch it, because I want the time to tick away so that when my life ends, I'll be distracted from the reality that I did nothing with the time that God has given me. And what I found out in my own personal experience, don't wait for anybody. Understand, you stand alone before the throne of God. No witnesses, no suspects. All you're going to have to offer him is what you did with the time that he gave you. That's it. He said the master is going to hand out talents, and he gives one this person a little bit, and this one a little bit more, and this one a little bit more. And then he goes away, and then he comes back. They don't know when he's coming back, but he comes back. When he comes back, he evaluates what you did with the time and the talents that he's given you. He didn't compare anybody to anybody other than the fact that they did something with what they were given. But if God's entrusted you with one thing, wear that puppy out. I mean, use it nonstop. Mm-hmm. Just work it. And if you're faithful over the one thing, God will give you more things. If you have two things, I mean, just begin to do something for God. I mean, just go feed the hungry and clothe the naked and bring shelter for the poor until you figure it out. But don't just sit back waiting for a hallelujah chorus come from heavens with angels, you know, saying, go thou us to the homeless and preach the gospel us and all this different stuff. It's like, come on, dude. If somebody showed up and you're having problems and they helped you, you're grateful. Mm-hmm. Just do things for the cause of Christ, and let them know, I am here today, not in front of some television or some job that I used as an excuse for years. I'm here because God has called me, saved me, and loves me and loves you. And that's why I'm giving you this clothes right now. That's why I'm preaching you the gospel. That's why I'm going to be, I will pastor you, that type of thing. And you're just saying, I'm doing this because I love God. I'm not going to spend my life, you know, sleeping, my vapor of time sleeping. But you have to force it. You have to take time and force it to be in compliance with the destiny God's called you to. They say, and I don't have the numbers right in front of me, but these are estimates, that 3% of the world, 3% of the people in America employ the other 97%. They did a survey in Harvard or Yale or something like that about people that wrote down their visions and what their expectations were and set their goals down and track their day-to-day progress with their planners. And they found out that 80% of the wealth was in 20% of the people's hands. And those people were the ones that did take a time and force it to be in compliance with what God's called them to. Listen, you only have your eyes. Nobody can see through your eyes. I was frustrated for an entire year trying to find somebody who could give me the right kind of contacts, because I wanted contacts. I didn't want glasses. And I finally settled with the glasses with a 2x4 across the top of them, because that keeps me from having them fall apart every 30 days and have to go back and see the people. And I just didn't want. I wanted contacts, you know, like John. You know, John's got blue eyes. And he buys them in a container.
Hazel. No, I'm joking.
Right? How is she doing? Anyway, so they And, you know, God was speaking to me the whole year. I was just sad. Man, I just spent lots of money. I looked at people who had a lot of education, and I just looked at them and said, make me see better. And they would put all this stuff on me. You know, how about this? How about that? How about this? I'm like, this is your job. I mean, nothing. I don't. Now, listen, I'm not talking negative about you. I'm just talking about your job. I'm thinking, if I had to go all day long, how about this? This better or that better? I'm like, oh, my gosh, I can't do this. I'm not. That's not me. That's not, speaking of that, well, I'll talk about that in a moment, but you got to take time and you got to force it to be in compliance with what God's called you to do. And you, and don't quit, you know, quit. You can't blame your life on anybody else. You can't blame your time wasted on anybody else. You're going to stand alone before the throne of God. And we need some help. Those that are on the front lines needs help. Gideon needs help. David needs help. People that are willing to go out and step out and trust God. You know, they need help to be shoulder to shoulder with them on behalf of the kingdom and to forcefully advance the kingdom and to bring hope to a hopeless generation. There is hope in God. But we have to shake ourselves and realize, wait a minute, I'm sleepy. I'm lethargic. I've been hiding and letting time just pass me by. And you have to force it to be in compliance. And you can do that. And hopefully that'll be made available one day on VFN TV, but value-based vision management, understanding that you can force it. You can apply God's wisdom. You can apply God's wisdom to time, taking it and forcing it to be in compliance. There's wisdom on how to do that. And the wisdom on how to do that is something very simple, just planning out your day, you know, writing down and searching out what God's called you to do, what your vision is for your life, what God's called you to do, and begin to put that as a on your timeline and begin to break it down to small intermediate steps and begin to say, yeah, I'm going to do this step and this step and this step. And next thing you know, you begin to accomplish things. Mm-hmm. And you even prioritize your regular day too, because that's been taking all your time. You need to put it in the right perspective. And what happens eventually, that very thing that God's called you to do comes to pass because you applied wisdom to your life. You took the vision that God's called you, it called you to walk out in your life. You wrote it down. You made it plain, just like Habakkuk says to do. You made it plain so other people can run with it. You don't talk when people talk about, you know, this is what I feel like I'm called to do. And you're like, what? What's that? What? You know, if you're the only one that understands that, it's not ready yet.
Right.
Because you have to write down what other people can run with it. And this is what some people say. Well, I don't want other people to run with it. This is mine. I say, okay, well, have fun with it.
Yeah, right.
Have fun with that. But the you write down so other people can run with it and understand that if you'll be faithful in applying God's wisdom to bringing those things to pass in this thing called a life, this vapor, this premarital time that we have before the great wedding banquet in heaven where the bride of Christ being married over to Jesus in front of the Father and all of the heavenly hosts, that we can bring something to lay at his feet. Mm-hmm. We can lay and understand. People say, well, which people who are struggling with this, look at other people's life and they think, but they're just so smart and they have it all together. No, they just are persistent. They're just persistent. They're consistent. They apply wisdom. And when they fall down and they make mistakes, they understand they just get back up and go again. They just don't stop. They don't wait for somebody else to do something before they obey God. Mm. And that's what I encourage you today. You got to have to just shake yourself. Shake yourself and say, you know what? I am not going to let 2013 or the year you're listening to this pass by. Pass by without me accomplishing what God has in my heart in this year. And it passes by. I mean, it's already, March is knocking on the door now.
Mm-hmm.
And the more you're into what God wants you to be into, the less time you have to be able to do it. It's like the adversary just speeds your clock up.
Yeah, right.
You know? And when you're visionless, you're like you're a student at school. We used to have clocks with hands on them. And you would stare at that clock, and 5 minutes would take 17 years. 17 years. And the last minute, it was like just all of demonic forces were holding back that second hand before that bell would ring. Isn't it amazing?
Oh, my gosh.
Yep.
So many people who have no vision, they're the ones hanging around the time clock at the office. You know what I'm saying? Are y'all all, am I paying every one of you guys to hang around the time clock here? Yeah, they don't understand. The boss man's looking like, that's $75 an hour. You know, it's like, what are you doing?
And backing up 20 minutes before it's time to go. Like, wait a minute.
It's visionless. You know, it's just somebody that doesn't have purpose. And it's like, you need to sit down with that employee ease and work with them and get them to get the vision of what you're doing, because they are not connected to what's happening right there. But I just want to encourage you today to be connected. Be connected to what God has called you to do. Listen, the word of God applies to you. not him over there or her over there. Everything in the Bible is written to you, to the entire church. And that is what you're going to be evaluated by at the throne of God. That's just it. It's all you're going to have to offer him is what you do for him. And in that, you're going to be tested. Things are going to come your way, but you just stay faithful to God. You stay faithful to him and understand it's in those testings that what you were doing, your motives will get worked out and all the different things. And then all of a sudden, you have more purity in what you're doing because you're able to get rid of, that's gone. You know, all the hay, wood, and stubble is gone. And you have no problem letting anything go if it's just wasting your energy and busy in your life. So this morning, I just wanted to encourage you today to take time and force it to be in compliance with the destiny God's called you to.
Wow. Well, you know, I don't know if you guys saw this, but just recently, God's news behind the news I want to share with you today. Mexico, the country of Mexico, lawmakers are asking the U.S. Senate to create a registry of all commercialized firearms in the border states. We're talking about California.
Now these are the guys who have drug lords running a lot of their parts of their country.
Killing people.
Yeah. Beheading and cutting all limbs and heads off. And
yes.
Yes. And they're telling us that we need something of our guns.
Yes, they
wouldn't
want
you, wouldn't you, but act. Wouldn't you think though that wouldn't you think it's like, I think you need to do something with your drugs.
Yeah, right.
If there's no drugs in Mexico, there's no American dollars or guns going over the border. It's like, I run into those people who say, can you please fix the world? I'm having issues in my house. It's like, can you just fix your house? It's much easier.
Exactly. It's exactly what's going on. So they're having, I guess, the nerve. This is California, Arizona, New Mexico, and Texas. Now, you know they were not messing with Texas, but they're asking all of them. And they're wanting this registry. And it's just like, are you kidding? We just talked about what was happening in Mexico. They need to take care of their own country. But just the fact that that's even being asked of the government. And then just recently, the Blazers is reporting that a lawmaker in Washington State, listen to this, a lawmaker in Washington State by the name of Olympia Wash, last week she introduced legislation that would allow county sheriffs to inspect the homes of semi-automatic rifle owners once a year.
You got to say that one more time. I totally just, that's something like the Fifth Amendment was shot. What was that? The
I'm going to give it to you again. Mm-hmm. Olympia Wash, she's a senator from Washington. Last week, she introduced legislation that would allow county sheriffs to inspect the homes of semi-automatic rifle owners once a year. This is proposed legislation. It's like, are you kidding me? The Senate bill is 5737. It would ban the sale of these automatic weapons.
So they're violating. That's a violation. She a senator, congressman or senator, she congress
senator
senator. So who swore to uphold the Constitution of the United States?
Yeah,
from enemies, foreign and her domestic. she is saying that we need to violate Americans' Second and Fourth Amendment.
Correct.
The right to bear arms and the right not to search their houses or their property or their papers.
Mm-hmm.
Does she understand this? Did y'all talk? I mean, what's up with this? I mean, she's violating two of the things she's supposed to uphold.
Crazy.
Yeah.
This is insanity. I mean, it would be laughable if it wasn't just so crazy.
Well, he said the Second Amendment is the Constitution, a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of the free state. The right of people to keep and to bear arms shall not be infringed upon. And that she's infringing upon that.
Not only that, but the Fourth Amendment says that's the right of the people to be secure in their persons, house, papers, effects against unreasonable searches and seizures. And that should not be violated and no warrants shall issue but upon probable cause. And it's like, wait,
it's like Crete. It's like Crete. It's like Crete. Yeah. Because it's like Crete because they say, and Paul talks about Crete, that they says, well, I'll say what Paul said. He said, they're a bunch of liars. I mean, I hate to say that, but that's what Paul said. I'm just quoting Paul about Cretans. And it's like, okay, if you're supposed to protect the Constitution and you're actually attacking the Constitution, so that means your oath that you swore was not true. That was not true. We got more on this. We'll be right back in just a moment.
You know, John, I have been so encouraged listening to you and sharing your stories about Elijah and Isaiah and Maya and how you got to spend time with them at one of their baseball games, how encouraged they were with the fact that that you were just simply there. Your presence, just being with them, encouraged them. Tell me about that.
Well, that's cool, man. I can understand what you're saying because yeah. I feel that way when I know that God is near me.
Yeah.
You know, when I have a relationship with him and I know that he's present, he's not far away.
Mm-hmm.
He's not too far that is, you know, he can't reach out to me, not too far that his eyes are not always on me. And maybe you are listening today and you wish that you had a father to be in your life, or you wish that somebody was there to watch you. I want to tell you that you're not alone. Many of us have experienced the same things in our lives, and we wanted to know more about God ourselves.
Yeah.
But it was a journey. We were all on a journey. Isn't that right, Steve?
Absolutely.
And that journey brought us to a point where, you know what? I want to meet the Father.
That's right.
I want to meet Father God. And so some of us have shared our stories. You know, a lot of it's not pretty, but what is? But what it truly is, it's real.
Mm.
And if you're looking for a story, a real life story that would help encourage you, I want to ask you to find out more at meetmyfather.org, where real people have gone through real things to find the real Father. Meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him. Steve, Pat, mm-hmm. I got to tell you, I've had two experiences when it comes to reading the Bible. I've read the Bible before,
mm-hmm.
and it was like a dictionary.
Yeah.
Didn't make any sense.
Right.
Couldn't understand it.
Right.
And after one page, I said, okay, that's enough.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But then I've had another experience.
Yeah.
And that's when I spent time abiding with God.
Big difference.
That the Bible literally has come alive.
Mm-hmm.
That which with each word as I read, each verse, I just sense God's presence with me.
Mm-hmm.
I sense that he's speaking to me. And I find that his word gives me direction. It gives me the light that I need. I tell you, if you've read the Bible before and you're struggling because it just doesn't make sense, maybe you don't know where to start, I want to encourage you to get a plan at iabide.org. It's a plan, a very simple plan. It's going to help you to have an abiding relationship. What does that mean? That means that you're going to find a set time, a set place where you're just not going to try to study the Bible because you can't study the Bible. It's not a tutorial.
Mm.
It's not a textbook. It's a living book that comes with the author. You're going to have an opportunity to sit and engage God, and he's going to engage you. iabide.org, where you can learn to hear the voice of God.
Pat, you know the great thing about all of our VFN radio listeners is that so many of them are connecting to us on Facebook. You know, we have a Facebook page. You may be listening today. You may not be aware, but we do. And you can go to facebook.com/VFNTV, or you can go to our VFNTV.com and click Facebook. Be a part. Right now, we're about over 5,000 and growing fans. Like us. Tell your friends to like us. We're creating a virtual stadium where everyone can connect and be a part and get fresh updates on everything that happens that day on the program. Don't forget, go to VFNTV.com and click Facebook.
Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Joining me is Pat and John. We finished up playing this keyboard. There we go. Man, I'm just rocking on that thing, huh? Letting it go.
Man, you're good.
And so, yeah, so they're wanting us to register guns. We were just talking about, you know, that Mexico's wanting us. What was this?
The U.S. Senate. Mexico's actually asking the U.S. Senate to provide them a registry with U.S. gun owners on the border states.
Provide them a register. You know, just go to Google and search for it. I'm sure you'll find it from a local newspaper.
I'm sure there's a newspaper who will publish addresses.
Oh, my goodness.
Is that nuts? And then
it would really be nuts, but it's like a choir of nuts. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's like a nut basket. Like a nut basket.
It's like catch a clue when everyone around you is crazy, right? It's like the scout's like, what's happening here?
Well, it just reminds you when you think about what happened during Gideon's day when the Medes turned on themselves, the Midianites turned on themselves, that it's just all going all over the place. And you just kind of just watch. It's like, this is not going to work. It's going to be self-destructive what they're doing. But
yeah. And then the Washington lawmaker, the state of Washington, the Senator Olympia Wash, she's proposing this bill that would actually allow outlaw some automatic weapons, but it also would allow random searches by the sheriff. I mean, the sheriff of the county may no more than once per year conduct an inspection to ensure compliance with this proposal, with this bill. It's like, are you kidding me? So the sheriff will under this proposal will come on by. And this is a violation not only like we talked about earlier about the Second and the Fourth Amendment rights, but this is crazy.
Is like New York's going to be again sending police officers into people's houses to find out if they got a 32-ounce gulp cut from the local store. And they're making so many laws. You think about it. I mean, that's what they're doing. They're actually going. It's like, no, it's a government by the people and for the people. You work for us.
Yeah,
you work for us. The reason why we're supposed to possess arms with the Second Amendment, so I'm not saying this, so that we can have a well-regulated militia, not so we can go hunting, so a well-regulated militia to secure the freedom and keep the freedom of Americans, the whole purpose of it.
Mm. Not only that, but the lawmakers, one of the co-sponsors, they're not even reading the bill. Says the Senator Adam Klein.
No.
Listen to this.
No, I can't. Oh my God.
Listen to what he says.
What?
He said.
It's our school system. I think it's our school system anyway because nobody knows how to read. They're graduating people that have never read. And what we have senators now and congressmen who've come from our school system. And the truth is they just can't read. Mm. That must be it. They just don't want to tell anybody, you know, somebody that struggles with reading. They just have this big game. Oh, we don't need to read the thing. And the truth is they can't read. That's why they're saying that. Let's just give them the benefit of the doubt. Maybe they just are, you know, illiterate. Maybe they just can't read. Of course they can.
Right. Well, he says that he didn't properly vet the bill. That means they can't read.
That is definitely the new word, isn't it? Vet. Did you vet? Did you vet? I don't know. I've took my dog twice. I vetted him.
He didn't vet the bill prior to jumping on board. He claims he didn't realize the bill authorized police searches. It's like, this is nuts. But the main thing here is that this is the Declaration of Independence. This is what we signed the Declaration of Independence for. We have the right to privacy, you know? And like this bill, they're saying there's no chance it's going to get, you know, passed as unconstitutional. But the fact that they would actually propose.
Well, the fact that somebody that swore an oath to protect and defend the Constitution, which we're talking about here, from enemies, foreign and her, domestic, she's an enemy of the Constitution.
Yeah.
That's an enemy of the Constitution. When somebody blatantly goes against what the Constitution says, that's an enemy of it.
Yeah. Well, the continued tearing down of the Constitution, before you know it, they'll make it illegal for freedom of speech and to share the gospel. And it's like,
yes, that's, you know, the ultimate. The ultimate is a light and dark battle, and we got to wake up. I don't know if it's, I don't know if we were like the 90-year-old man waking up on the front porch. He goes, "Oh, I got it." And it's like it's a little late, bro. It's a little late. And, but I definitely want to be awake on this side of history. I don't want, like Ronald Reagan says, let history be said of us that we did everything that we could do before it actually did happen.
Mm-hmm.
And so that our, you know, that when our great grandchildren are reading about us, they're not going to go, "What did you do?" Yeah. You're going to be, he fought to the end. Mm-hmm. He fought to the, he brought up the Constitution right before they demolished and abolished it. Oh, it was amazing. What did everybody else do? They were sleeping and watching reality TV. I don't know. That is amazing. So there. So another country is requesting our Fourth Amendment violations from our senators who represent them, and our senators considering it.
Yes.
Amazing. Totally amazing. Maybe we just got to get back to the basics. And you can go to Original Intent on the Torch. Go to VFNTV.com and click on Original Intent. And we begin to discuss these amendments, the Constitution, and understanding, rediscovering the original intent of America. And God blessed us with America. The reason why we loved the song, and there were some You know, years ago, when television wasn't 24 hours a day, it used to actually end. It would end at a certain time, maybe midnight or something. And it would end with God Bless America and flags flying and all of our memorials down at the Washington, D.C. Mm-hmm. And it was over. And every night the country was honored. And the flag was honored.
Yeah, I remember that.
And television and all. And now it never stops and it never honors. It was amazing. Yeah. It's totally amazing. We got to get back to the original intent. And that's what I like about Texas. But shout out to all of our Texas listeners today. That they have a state song. They have everybody has a state constitution, but they actually believe in their state constitution. And they're advertising for businesses. The governor is advertising in other states for businesses to come to his state.
Big Texas. Time.
Big time. And it just makes sense. It just totally makes sense. The kids have to learn the state song and the state bird and the state colors. And they have a pledge allegiance to the Texas flag and to the American flag. It's the American flag. And I just love it. You know, I was listening to Kitar and James's children, quote those, and it was just so cool to watch that. It's like, I don't even know if anybody in Florida even knows they have a bird, you know, or the flag, or doesn't. It's just that thing that kind of hangs around the American flag. We became more national instead of, you know, regional in regards to the Constitution, what it says. Pat, I had a chance to go to my doctor, yesterday.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to bring up the name or the practice. And when you go in there, they give you these forms now. They give you these forms on clipboards. And it's like, you know, there's a day, I will never forget when there was a time when we didn't have self-service gas. You'd pull up to a gas station and people would put gas in your car. And they started having little stores open up with self-service.
They still do that in the north.
Yeah. I know. There's a reason why. Everybody's scared to get out of the car. They crack the windows. They give me five. You just want a gallon, huh? Anyway, you'd pulled up to a gas station way back when, and they'd put gas in your car, and they started to open up these self-service here and there. There's very few. And people would go, that's never going to work. That's just never going to work. And of course, now you have women getting out in like ball gowns standing by her car, holding her nozzle. And that's not a strange sight that people have never seen, not having self-service. But there was a day that a lady was honored when she pulled up to the gas station because the men would come out and shine her windshield and check her oil and thank her for her business. And it was just real cool. Mm-hmm. It was real neat how that happened. Well, that's how the doctor's offices are now. I mean, I went to this doctor's office and they gave me the clerk's work. I mean, I had this like 3-page form back in front, all these questions, you know, what ratio of improvement have you had since the last time you visited based on the left quadrant part of your body? I'm like, oh my goodness, what happened? This feels like a final exam in the university or something. And so I'm working my way through it. I'm fighting, you know, oppression. I'm getting it. You know, finally, I get this paperwork done. I'm thinking like, how much are they paying you, lady? I mean, you're not even doing this. You should ask these questions for us.
You get a tip.
You get a tip or whatever, you know, your ratio. You gotta give ratios. How much have you proved percentage-wise from the last time you hear, I don't know, 27% I'm better? I don't know. And so anyway, I think I finally passed that, and I leave this older man, and he's still like on page one of that stuff. I looked at him. I said, hold in there, man. You could do this thing. Because I know what was going through his thought was self-service gas would never work. Anyway, so here I am. They take me to this room. You're thinking, man, this is cool. I'm going to be taken care of. They called me out. I felt bad leaving the older man in this particular waiting room, but, you know, you have to do what you got to do. And they take me to a little small room, maybe, I don't know, nothing by nothing. And they said, doctor will be right with you. And then they close the door. And I thought, oh, my goodness.
And then an hour later.
I'm telling you. It was like the walls were closing in. It was I remember in the sheriff's department, we used to take people and put them in isolation. And we put them all by themselves when they would do stuff wrong in the jail. So, and I'm like, this is isolation. There is no video. There's no outside thing. There's not a phone hanging. Luckily, I had my phone, and I told the doctor when he finally got in there about 3 days later, I said, listen, man, this is like isolation. If I didn't have my phone to be able to call my family and reconnect with them on the outside, I wouldn't know what was happening here. This is a long time. We need something in touch with the outside world by your patients. Of course, he looked at me and he said, so what percentage are you better now than you were? Well, I don't know if you've ever been at that point in time where you needed to rest, but you didn't know it. You needed to rest, but you didn't know it. Now, everybody else knows you're at that point. But you don't know. You don't know yet you're at that point. If you asked other people, they would go, oh, yes, you need to rest. Oh, but you know, there comes a time when even if you're doing something good, you've got to rest. And so many people that are, you know, being good mothers and good fathers and good employers and good ministers, you know, that you can just pour yourself out. And if you don't take care of yourself, even though it's good what you're doing, it's going to be bad and you're going to end up in a bad place. It makes me think of Isaiah 28. Isaiah 28, verse 11 through 13, when he's saying, listen, you know, God will speak to his people. And he says about a particular time of rest. He says, this is the time of a resting place. Let the weary rest. And this is the place of repose. But they wouldn't listen. How many times that happened?
A few.
But they wouldn't listen. I mean, think about it. A lot of times we think, well, why would God interrupt something good? Why would wisdom interrupt something good? And the truth is, it's because you're only human. You know, it makes me think of Evan Roberts in the Welsh Revival. That he was young, in his 20s. God was using him. You know, God was just shaking all the Welsh people, and he just didn't rest. Mm-hmm. And finally, you know, he just lost it. And he started, what was good turning up, you know, kind of being bad. Then finally, he was so weak that a lady came up and said, oh, Robert, Evan, you are tired. You just need a rest. I'll tell you what. I'll build you a little place onto my mansion, and you can come out there and you can rest. Maybe you can edit my magazine or something. And you never heard from Evan again. You should have rested. Wisdom would have told him to rest. And he says, this is the place, this is the resting place. Let the weary rest. This is the place of repose, kicking back. But they wouldn't listen. So, this is what happens. Then, the word of the Lord, which means something very good, very awesome, to them, not to everybody else, but to that person who wouldn't rest, will become, do this, do that. A role for this, a role for that, a little here, a little there. Think about it. The awesome thing, the very word of God that you fell in love with, that you thought, oh my goodness, it just drips with honey, and I so enjoy reading the word of God. And now, the very good word now has become a bad experience for you. Don't panic. Don't think you're wrong. Just think you need rest. You need to repose. And realize this, that there's a lot of people that if they would have just rested for a little while, they wouldn't be in jail for a long while.
Right.
They wouldn't have lost their tempers. They wouldn't have lost their cool. And so, you know, or lost, done something that, you know, you regret, because tornadoes last for 40 seconds, but sometimes it takes 40 years to recover from them. So it just becomes a little here, a little there, a little rule here, rule there, do this, do that. And so that they, the person who wouldn't rest, will go and fall. They'll fall backwards. There's a progression here. All of a sudden, when it becomes rigorous to you, what was fun and relational and just, you couldn't wait to abide with God and spend time with him, but you're only human. You've done too many things in a short period of time. You need to reboot and get with God and have a time of repose, a time of just shutting down. And they wouldn't listen, so all of a sudden, they go and they fall backwards. Then they become injured. Then they get snared. And then they get captured, like Evan Roberts.
Wow.
First of all, that's why it's always good to be close to the body of Christ. So much of the body is so isolated from itself. Mm-hmm. Even though they show up once a week for 45 minutes to talk about God and celebrate and do some awesome things, they don't know each other. And it's like, you could be going through this time and somebody needs to look at you and go, you need rest. You need to repose. You know, we have a place, a secret place, that we allow ministers to be able to come to be able to rest and to reboot and to be re-encouraged. And the ones who don't, you eventually tell that they get bound, they fall backwards, they get injured, they get snared, and they get captured. I mean, it's just a necessary thing. And it's interesting that quite often you think, well, this is good. This is a good thing. But you're only human. And God is the only one good. So you're going to have to be in tune with God and have a peace inside of you so the goodness of God can come out of your life. It's not you doing good in the context of that. It's God's goodness in you coming out that's empowering you to do good. And so there comes a time, and it probably quite often, what you would think in the natural, this is the worst time ever to take a sabbatical, to take rest. And the truth is, that's probably the best time that you can take it, because normally about that time, there's a lot of ensnarements going on. There's a lot of people that claim ownership of you. There's things that have snared your thought life maybe, or your emotions, and you're on the verge of being captured, you know, and you've got to just stop. You just got to stop and let the world go on. And I tell you what, you know, when you die, it's appointed once to die and then the judgment, the world goes on. The world goes on. And sometimes it's one of the most offensive things, that when you've lost a loved one, somebody close to you, and you're mourning their loss, and you pull out of the graveyard, you're broken, and you look at the road, and it's like, they didn't even stop.
Yeah.
Life just went on. You go to a clerk and they don't even know all your tragedies and everything that just happened. Life just goes on. What happens quite often when you are involved in doing good, that you'll get this complex of thinking, well, that it's actually you doing it. And if you let go of it and you stop, then it'll all fall apart. Well, it's time for you to let go of it, because if you are the one doing it, it needs to fall apart. And whatever the hay, wood, and stubble is, it'll just go away. And then when you come back from your time of your sabbatical, whatever is left, that's God. That's God. And you'll find out you'll have a lot more energy. I just want to encourage you. If what was once good in your life has become rigorous, you know, and somebody told you, hey, you need to take some time and rest, but you wouldn't listen. Now, it's like do and do, rule on rule, little here, little there. And all of a sudden, you may have already been snared already. You may be injured. You're offended. You're easily offended because you're so weak. And you're at the verge of being captured. You need to listen to me. You need to listen to God. You need to listen to Isaiah the prophet. He says, listen, there was a time. There was a time God was speaking and saying, this is what you need to do. And what happens is, it's almost like Isaiah 58. Everything just gets refreshed. All of a sudden, things get into perspective. You get ministered to. You get refreshed. And now you are a whole person again, and you're able to come back wholly, you know, to be able to do what you know that you're called to do in your life and your ministry and in your family. It's a very, very important thing to be able to do, to be able to take some time to spend with.
There comes a point in time when God begins to call his people to himself. He begins to call out to our hearts, call out as deep calls into deep. He begins to lure us to himself and speak to us and reaffirm us. And sometimes he just says, listen, I'll just forget all that. I'll forgive all that. Just come back. Let's reboot. Let's go back to the cross. Let's go back to your first love. Listen, God, even though the condition of where we are right now in America, where the condition of the world is, and it's not good, I mean, God's still calling himself a people. He's calling out. The question is, will you respond? It's to you. It's not to the person on your left. It's not to the person on your right. You know, if what you're doing is not what God says to do, wouldn't you ask yourself, what then should I do? Right. What does God's word tell me to do? I mean, you've got to be, I mean, think about Steve Hill. You think about Steve Hill. He just wanted God desperately. I think about, you know, Brother John Kilpatrick, when he said, when God began to pour himself out on Father's Day of 1995, even prior to that or during, he says, listen, I don't care where God is moving. Wherever he's moving, that's where I'm going to be. We have to become that desperate. As a matter of fact, Steve Hill right now begins to talk about the condition of America, and I'll be right back.
This is what I'll come do, okay? And I want to talk about a move of God, revival, just for a few minutes. And our nation right now is in terrible shape. Our nation needs something besides religion. And religion is hanging around the cross. Christianity is getting on the cross. Okay, religion is, and America right now is hanging around the cross. Okay, the cross has benefits. okay, there's great benefits to Christianity, but Jesus got on it. And he talked to his disciples about getting on it. And so revival to me is a little bit more, there's a little bit more sacrifice involved in it.
And it's exactly what you think about it, that is what it takes. And he proved it with his life. He proved it by saying, you know, I'm desperate for God. I'm willing to get on the cross. God has called us to pick up our cross and follow him. Mm-hmm. Follow him. And what we do, we're together because we're following him. I mean, he's what we have in common. If you're ready to follow him, if that's you, if you don't want to see this nation just go by the wayside, you don't want to see it just set aside. You know, God is looking for a people. Isaiah said, here I am, send me. Maybe, just maybe, the VFN family's for you, or someone that is moving in the context of what God is doing in this day as well, across the earth. Check it out, vfnfamily.org, but we're not just talking about it. We're doing it. vfnfamily.org. It is amazing how this is all working. It's people just like you, friends like you, that stand with us and understand, you know, we've got to make a difference in our generation, that stand with us prayerfully and financially, that just partner on a monthly basis, to financially build a foundation that where we can carry this message not only to the nation of America, but to the nations of the world. It's amazing how so many people are being encouraged by a simple gift of a few dollars a month, $25 a month, $50 a month, whatever it is. And you know what? Together, if you're having difficulty in how to present the gospel to this generation, partner with us, and we together at VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program will bring the gospel to this nation, and this nation, by God's grace, to the Lord. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. VFNTV.com and click on giving. Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me is Pat and John.
You know, I was thinking, just coming across and just thinking about stuff and praying, and started realizing, not realizing, but I guess contemplating that, you know, many people today are skeptical. You know, they seem to be suspicious of just about everything, and they become even not sure of themselves at times and just of others. And you look at the world and what's happening, there's so much falsehood and just deception in the land today. And one of the things that makes the Lord just so appealing and just so awesome is that he's faithful and that he's true. In the world that we live in, where there are lies, there are deceptions, things are not what they appear, God is so true and so real. And as believers, when we give our lives to the Lord, you know, we engage God through faith. We engage God through having obviously a relationship with him. But faith is the currency of heaven. It's how we believe God for everything, from salvation to everything, for growth and everything else in our life. Hebrews 11:6 says, "And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him." I mean, think about that. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And if we're going to come to him, we got to believe that he exists, and that he's going to reward us. And I think about an account in Mark 11, where Jesus was walking with the disciples, and they were leaving Bethany, and Jesus was trying to get a fruit from trying to get a fig from the fig tree, and he gets approached and realized that there wasn't no figs on there. So he cursed the fig tree and kind of went on his way. And as they kind of finished their ministering and what they were doing, they were coming back, and the disciples say, you know, look, actually it was Peter. He said to Jesus, "Rabbi, look, the tree that you cursed has withered," as if he was shocked. And this is what Jesus' response to Peter was. He says, "Have faith in God." Listen, there's so many people right now that are putting faith in so many other things. They're putting faith in themselves. They're putting faith in their jobs. They're putting faith in their resources. They're putting faith in their knowledge. They're putting faith in other people. But God instructs us to put our faith, the substance that pleases God the most, in him. Then he says, I tell you the truth, that if anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will happen, it will be done for him. Mm-hmm. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. Now, think about how much time we spend praying. You know, are we really believing? Are we wishing? Are we hoping? Lord, would you? Can you? Maybe. And it's like we got to come to a point in our prayer that we're not asking just to ask. We're not hoping and wishing. But God's given us, he's showing us how to pray. He says, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it. Right? Believe you and not to doubt. And doubting is being undecided, skeptical, being, you know, unlikely, lack of certainty, lack of confidence. And the direct opposite of belief, which is to accept as true, to have confidence in the value of some, to accept it, to have a strong conviction. If we get back and forth being double-minded, we're not going to get anything from God. We're not going to be anything from God. And many are disappointed because they don't see their prayers answered. Many, they're disappointed. They're saying, God, what's happening? But you're not praying with belief. You're doubting every single thing that you're praying about, that you're asking God about. And it's time. It's time to pray the way Jesus instructed us to pray, with an expectation and anticipation that what we prayed and declared will and has happened. He says, believe that you have received it. Not believe that you will receive it, that you might receive it, right? Believe that you're going to receive it, right? But he says, believe that you have it. It's present. It's present. You have the title faith. You believe it. It's here. I've got it now. And James talks about, James 1:6 says that, but when he asks, when you ask in prayer, you must believe and not doubt. Because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. He is double-minded and unstable in all his ways. Listen, God's called us to believe for great things. He's calling us to pray. You know, God doesn't have a plan B. It's us. He's given us dominion on the face of the earth as believers. And he told Adam, and he's telling us, take dominion, rule and reign. Pray, my will be done. You know, my kingdom come, my will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we got to believe God to step out in greater ways, to believe God for the harvest, to believe God for him to move in our own lives, to believe God to move in our family's life. You know, someone says, you know, oftentimes you hear people say, I'll pray for you, or can you pray for me? And it's like, are you really praying? You know what I'm saying? Are you praying with faith? And God doesn't want us to wish and to be double-minded, but he wants us to pray with certainty. He says, ask whatever you ask, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. And I'm encouraged by that today. We want to encourage you today. Believe God. God's desire is for you to believe him, is to trust him in all of your ways, right? We're supposed to acknowledge him and not to be double-minded. You know, one of the things that as a parent, you when you have small children, you want them to trust you and to believe in what you're saying. So it's like, okay, come on, you know, I said it. You know, one of the things I like to do with my little girls, I put her on a little counter and I just tell her to jump. And it's so funny because I'll be so close and she'll jump and she'll smile. And then I'll get a further distance away. And she'll, you know, she can say, oh, he's going to catch me. He's going to catch me. And I go, come on, jump. And she's like, no, daddy. And I was like, come on and jump. And so she jumps and then she laughs again and I'll put her back up. And it's like the Lord just says, listen, trust me. Trust me. Pray, believe, receive, declare it. And I'll tell you, if one can send 1,000 a flight and two can send 10,000 a flight, by ourselves, we're like a zero, right? But when we stand next to Jesus, the number one, automatically you become 10. And if the next person stands next to us, another zero, right? We're nothing without God. We become 100. And then another, you know, it's prayer. It's agreement. But if we don't believe, we don't believe. We have a bunch of unbelieving believers. We got to settle that in our heart. We got to settle that in our heart with God's word and say, God, I'm going to take you at your word. God said it. I believe it. And that settles it.
That's so good. You know, the word of God lets us know where Jesus says, will the Son of Man even find faith when he returns? So it means a lot of religion could be going on, but does anybody, you know, moving in faith, praying in faith? And what would be, if somebody was praying a prayer of faith, what would that sound like? I mean, give us a paradigm of that. So, you know, a lot of times we separate God from our heart and believe him out there, but we're not believing him through us, that it's something happening in our life and through our life. So how would that sound?
A prayer of faith. I mean, if you're praying for your healing, you're declaring, you're saying, God, I believe today that your word is true. I believe that your word says that by your stripes I am healed. So, Lord, I declare that in my life today, that I am healed by the blood of the Lamb. I am healed, God, because your word says it, and I receive it by faith. I receive it by faith, and I'm just going to, you know, continue to pray that out and believe that and confess it.
That's good. I can feel it. I can feel that prayer. I can feel that prayer when you're. That's awesome. So, in the area of healing and finances, what would finances sound like?
Well, Lord, I thank you that I'm blessed. You've called me to be the head and not the tail. Lord, I've honored you with your in the word, right? Because of tithing you give, Lord. And I just receive the blessings of the Lord in my life. I receive them today. I'm not going to look for my circumstances to dictate. You know, I'm not going to look at the natural. I'm going to believe in the spiritual. I'm going to believe what your word says, Lord, and I'm blessed. And I just receive the blessings of the Lord. I'm a giver. I'm not, you know what I'm saying? I'm a giver, Lord. I'm a blessed person. And it's just declaring the word of God. It's not, you know, moving in doubt, not looking at your natural circumstances, but it's actually believing what God says.
Well, we're coming to the end of the first hour. We had such a wonderful time. Don't forget to catch us in the extra hour beginning in just a moment. For those that are leaving us, you can catch us at bfntv.com or catch the second half, the extra hour, on your mobile device, your iPhone, your Android, and all those wonderful places at bfntv.com. You're listening to BFN Radio. For those who are sticking with us, we'll see you on the other side.